In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And we're coming to you again from our own homes. I'm once again in my bedroom. I don't know where Mike's at. Where are you at, Mike?
I'm in a remote location out in the middle of the...
Are you in the studio?
Yeah, I'm totally in the studio.
Yeah, I figured you were in the studio. That's where all your gear is. That's the best place to be.
Yep.
And you finally have the internet working properly in the studio, so
yes.
You're getting the good feed from it.
Proper working interwebs.
That's always good. Luckily I have a major company that provides my internet, and I have paid out the ass for the highest level of internet that they provide, the fastest speed, no reducing my speed at any point in time, unlimited usage, because I have way too many goddamn people using the internet at my house. I mean, seriously,
I can understand that being very practical.
I got four cell phones constantly hooked up to the internet. I have three tablets constantly streaming video on the internet. I have either an Xbox One or a PS4 that's constantly hooked up. Not mine. Somebody else's that lives in my house. But one of the two of them is always hooked up and doing something online.
Oh, yeah. I can't mess around with that.
And then my wife is streaming either from the cable box, which at least is part of the cable package, so I don't know how much it uses the internet, or she's streaming from one of the video game systems that is doing like the whatever streaming services aren't covered on the cable box. So it is constant things happening, and then the 3 to 5 Zoom meetings each day for the kids for school.
Oh, holy smokes.
There's no way I am being without the fastest internet humanly possible.
Of course, so, absolutely. Yeah,
and fully agree. And the most of the internet humanly possible.
Yeah.
Because we don't – when internet goes down in this house, it is hell. It's lucky that the house is still standing, even if it's down for a short period of time.
Oh, yeah.
It's even worse when the power goes out, but the internet going out is just as bad. It's scary
predicting. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
It's like tablets going down. When tablets go down, they don't charge properly or they're breaking or whatnot. It's hell. By the way, if we have any parents that have issues with their kids' tablets or phones running low on battery, or if we have any boomers or Gen Xers, the older people that have problems with their phone or tablet batteries running down too quickly, check your screen brightness, please. Because I'm pretty sure that you probably have your screen brightness turned up way too flipping high. You can operate with about a 55% screen brightness, and it's still more than bright enough for you to see anything. And if you can't, go see your eye doctor, please.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Or have more lights in your house or something.
Actually, the lights will counter the screen brightness. That's why you have to crank your brightness when you're out in the sun.
Well, sunlight will, but lights in your house don't mess with it too badly.
Huh.
But anyway, check your screen brightness, because if you're at 100%, you are killing your battery, people.
Oh, yes.
You're destroying it, and you're making your life miserable and the lives of everybody around you.
If your brightness meter is red or orange, you should probably turn it down.
Yeah, that would be helpful. So, as usual, it's been a pretty interesting week. The last month or so, just been filled with interesting weeks. I love seeing the memes nowadays where it's like, what's going to happen next?
Oh,
luckily,
I love that.
We seem to have avoided the murder hornets, which are kind of nice. But it's like, you know, you've seen the one where like in July, this is going to happen. And then in August, this is going to happen. And then in September, I don't remember the exact specific things that are going to happen. But it's like literally every month of this year, something else just kind of happens.
This is
Murphy's Law year.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it is.
My wife and I printed up a bingo card with a bunch of random crap on it to see whether or not any of it strikes. I don't even want to say half of what it would be, because I just don't want that kind of, you know, that kind of potential going out into the universe. But we take a look at it every once in a while.
I mean, there is a Godzilla movie coming out in November. So we'll get to see Godzilla in November. Who knows?
One of them is, okay, I could say a couple of them because they're really funny. One of them is Cats the Butthole Version released. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I've heard about the cat's butthole version. I kind of there is that part of me that wants to see that if it ever came out. I don't want to see cats. First of all, I have a history with cats. I'm a theater person. Okay, I took theater in college.
Right.
I was involved in theater. I have a connection to at least some musical theater. I didn't get into it in high school and college because back then I wasn't comfortable with singing in front of people. I wish I would have because I think I could have done at least okay, but right. I didn't get too heavy into musical theater. I did have a friend who was in theater with me in college. Somebody you know as well. Mm-hmm. That went to school with your wife. That really tried to hammer in musicals to me, especially anything by Sondheim, because he was like a huge Sondheim fan, mm-hmm. like massive. So anything Sondheim, he was trying to kind of force into my head. So like when the movie Into the Woods came out, uh-huh. everybody was like freaking out about, oh, it's Into the Woods, right?
I don't remember that at all.
I was like, yeah, I saw a Broadway production of that, a crappy Broadway production recording, like, you know, 99, 2000 round in there.
Ah, okay.
Because he made me watch it. And
wow, that's terrible.
Sweeney Todd come out and it's like, yeah, I've already seen this before. you know, it's Sondheim.
We get it. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm just scared of the possibility to an extent.
I'm honestly scared of the possibility of the potential of the cat's butthole version, because look at all of the rallying that went around the Snyder version, the Snyder cut of Justice League, which is going to happen. Right.
But I think people want the Snyder cut of Justice League way more than they want the butthole version of cats. Because here's the thing.
You sure?
At least people went to the theater. No, here's the thing. At least people went to the theater and watched Justice League.
Well, the reason why cats failed cats so badly, it could be argued, is there was no buttholes on the cats. They weren't believable, James.
No. I have two reasons why the cats movie was awful. One, it was a horrible premise to make them in the full cat costume with CGI and crap.
Oh, that was so uncanny valley.
Horrible thing. But the other thing is, here's the thing. People would go to see the play Cats, not because Cats was good, because it is not.
I've seen some of the advertisements, I've never watched Cats. It looks like shit. Why would somebody want to see that?
Because it's considered one of the things that you do.
But
it's just
why?
What you do.
Why? That's the problem. The problem is just like, oh, you should go see this. But why? Well, because everybody's seen it. Okay. Well,
Here's the thing. It's one of those cultural things where if you're going for a time, if you were going to go see a play on Broadway in New York, Cats was one of those plays that you had to see because everybody saw Cats. It was a thing.
Is it just because you're
not
like
good?
Is this like some hipster bullshit? Like you're not a real Broadway fan if you haven't seen Cats?
No, I would say you're not a real Broadway for theater actors and whatnot. It'd be you're not a real Broadway fan if you haven't seen Rent. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but Rent has only been around for like what, 20 years? Which it's a decent, like, don't get me wrong, that's a decent amount of time. But like Cats has been around for quite a bit longer than that.
I think Rent's been around a little bit longer than that, and Rent is based on La Boheme. So I mean, the original story was around long time ago. The thing is, and I will go on record, by the way, of saying Rent is awful too. But
the only reference to Rent that I have is Lease, which was the Trey Parker and Matt Stone parody that was done in Team America: World Police, and I don't want to ruin my memory of that parody. I don't think I'll ever want to see the real Rent, because I just want to remember Rent as that forever.
Yeah, I'd say go with that. I'd say stick with that. But Cats is one of those things. It's just I've had to sit through it. The original Broadway recording that was on VHS and was distributed all over the place in the late 80s. I have sisters-in-law who absolutely loved that movie and would watch it over and over and over again. I'm telling you now, it is one of the most god-awful musicals I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why the hell subject yourself to things like that? This is one thing I don't understand about some people that are super into certain types of of
again, it's one of those things that is again considered the thing to do. You know, it's like if you're at a fancy party and they're serving caviar, you have to eat the caviar. I'm not going to eat it, but everybody else feels like they need to have the caviar. I don't want to eat no fish eggs. That's just not my thing. It's not my deal.
Okay, that's a thing that I would try once, but that's like equivalent to walking in, sitting down, seeing it for 5 minutes, and getting the hell out if it doesn't appeal to you. Not sitting through the entire thing and then considering it this wonderful, you know, piece of art for being whatever type of relevance. If it's terrible at it, then it's terrible.
Yeah, and yeah, so that's the thing is, cats is just awful. But anyway, as we were saying, each month in this year has brought some new surprise, some new bit of wonderment, some new bit of strangeness, if you will.
Right.
And as a result of some of these various things that are going on, we're seeing a lot of pieces of culture start to fall away in a very quick amount of time. And like we've experienced certain parts of our culture falling away, you know, streaming services like the ones I mentioned earlier, basically were the death of the video store. Something that was a cultural milestone for us, and a place that we hung out, that we had life in, that we had our first major jobs in. You know, these were things that kind of defined our generation, and they're gone, wiped off the landscape. Blockbuster is no more. Mm-hmm. It's sad. I was just watching for, you know, out of boredom and wanting to use my Disney Plus that I pay money for each month and yet don't watch enough things on. I decided to watch Captain Marvel again.
Oh, cool.
Just because, again, I love the Marvel Universe movies. I love the DC Universe movies. But I decided, I'm just going to watch Captain Marvel again. I've only seen it like once, so I'm going to watch it again. It's been about 6 months since I saw it, so I'm going to watch it again. So in the early part of the movie, when she crash lands on Earth, she crash lands into a Blockbuster video.
Right.
And I got kind of teary, a little
Aww.
Sad. You know, because that's my place and I miss it.
Yeah.
But we're seeing even more places that are kind of things we've gotten used to being part of our lives starting to close. And one of them being, I don't know if you saw, 24-Hour Fitness is closing out. They're
what?
Closing all their gyms. Yeah.
24 is going. It's done. It's gone.
They're in the process of closing everything out. Yeah.
Wow, dude, and going then, the way of Toys R Us, huh? Because Toys R Us was last year.
And then Toys R Us was a couple of years ago.
Was it 2 years ago? I thought it was last year.
It was like 2 or 3 years ago. I think it's been that long that my child has been sad that he can't go to Toys R Us and go
Aww.
Shopping.
Aw.
Yeah, he's whenever we have to drive past where the Toys R Us used to be, he gets very emotional. Was one of his favorite stores.
Oh man.
I mean, I remember that one nostalgically. That's where I personally went and bought my first game system that I paid for with like my own money.
Oh wow.
I remember specifically I went there and I bought my Nintendo 64, and I bought it there because it came with the game I wanted and it came with an extra controller.
Nice.
It was a purple light.
Oh, you got
purple
the atomic
controller.
Purple. Yeah, that the atomic purple controllers are those are kind of sought after now.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, boo. I got
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the joystick part doesn't work.
Oh, dude, you can replace those. Oh, brother. I could find a replacement. I think I have a replacement I could even give you.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
The game it came with was Episode 1 Pod Racer.
And oh, so, you absolutely adore that. Oh, see, with the second controller doing the Pod Racer thing, you could actually use the dual analog stick trick.
Yes, I could do the RR Tang the Beast.
Yeah, that's
which
dope.
I've done, and it's not easy, dude.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Not easy. Did you do a lot of pod racing? Back
no,
in the day?
I did. You're, I did not. I don't even think I have Pod Racer. If I do, I might have. I know I don't have it on N64. If I do, I might have it on Dreamcast. I'm gonna have to take a look. For people that are not familiar, I am definitely a retro game collector. Like I'm not as like diehard as some of the big guys up the, that, you know, especially those guys that there's a huge like retro gaming community in Seattle.
Oh yeah. Well, no, see, and I
and a little bit in LA, but man,
I have a little bit of a collection. I mean, I do have an original NES. I have a Super. I have I have the 64. I have, I think, two GameCubes. I have three Wiis. Just
three
things
of them.
Happened, and I ended up getting three Wiis. Don't nice. Ask. And I have an old Sega Genesis. I have the, I don't know if I said Dreamcast, but I have one of those. So I do have some of the older gaming systems. The only thing I don't really have right now is a PS1, but I have two PS2s, so I really don't need a PS1. And I have, an original Xbox as well. So, I mean, I have some of the gaming stuff, but not to the extent that you collect them. I just happen to have them because I've held on to most of my crap. You know?
Oh, that's kind of where we started. That's where my wife and I started. Like, three or four of the systems that we had was stuff that that she got when we went and visited her parents. Her parents happened to have a bunch of older stuff in storage that nice. Were from her childhood. And she's like, oh man, this is my original. Like, she got the I don't know if you remember the Top Loader NES, which is the one where you put the cartridge in top, because that solves the blinking light problem from what is called now the toaster. The original NES is now called the toaster, and then there's the Top Loader, which I find funny because you normally load toasters in from the top.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it that. As a matter of fact, the original NES was designed to look like a VCR in America.
I'd call it the paver.
The what?
I mean, you could call it the paver if you
right.
wanted to.
Yeah, okay.
But not
yeah.
a toaster.
Right, exactly. That makes more sense. That works that works out more. So, we have the Top Loader, we have the old SNES, we have the new SNES, we have a lot of these guys that are just...
Okay, I'm diverging from the topic that I was leading into for a moment. Since we're on the video game topic, I just really quick round here.
Okay.
Go-to game for each system, okay?
Oh my goodness.
So let's start with just a single go-to game. Like, if you're going to sit down, just play one game. For the NES, what's your go-to game?
Boy, that's a good question. I would probably go with, right out the gate, Zelda 1.
Okay.
Which is like kind of cliche on my end, especially like with you knowing me.
No, it makes sense. For me, it would be Punch-Out, not Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, just regular Punch-Out.
Not the Mike Tyson version, just the regular, because it's pretty much the same game. The only difference is the guy at the end.
Yeah, it's the only difference. But I prefer the one without Mike Tyson.
Okay.
For Super NES.
Ooh. Super Street Fighter 2.
I would agree with you on that one. That would be my same choice.
Hell yeah.
For sure. Because that's the one that has Vega in it, right?
There's a multiple, but Super Street Fighter 2 is like the penultimate version. It has all of the extra challengers. You know, you got the Bruce Lee clone and the big native guy. Okay.
Then that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. How about Sega Genesis?
Sega Genesis, I'm not as well versed in, but I would probably say, oh man. I never had a Sega Genesis when I was growing up, but my brother had one, and so I will tend to gravitate towards Sonic 2, because that's the game he played all the time.
Okay. For me, it would be Mortal Kombat.
Oh, the first one, huh? Yeah. Oh, dude, Blood Code, for sure.
And now, I never had a Sega CD or Sega Saturn, so
I guess we can skip those ones,
unless you had that.
We didn't. We never had Sega CD. However, I recently got my hands on a Sega 32X, and there are like three games that you should get. Yeah, I got the 32X. There are three games you should get. There is a, it's kind of like a precursor to the Rogue Squadron games, but there is a Star Wars game, which basically like it's dope.
What's it called?
I can't remember. It's a Star Wars game for 32X, but it is basically it's a Star Wars it's not Battlefront, but basically it's an Starfighter. I think Star Wars Starfighter or something like that. But basically it's an in space combat. It's space combat. But consider it like Star Fox space combat, except on the 32X. But my main go-to for
was it Star Wars Arcade?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes.
Star Wars Arcade on the 32X. And
I've actually seen it and played it.
Nice. So yeah. You know exactly. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then Doom on the 32X, which is like the cartridge version that you should play. Doom on SNES was okay, but it really wasn't that great. Virtua Fighter on 32X is, I think it's
okay.
It looks hokey, but I think it's great. It's one of the first versions of Virtua Fighter that was smooth enough to play properly.
I get you on that.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to original PlayStation.
PlayStation 1. Whew. What are the ones that I had a ton of? I would probably say Gran Turismo 2, just a quick right off the top kind of deal. No, take that back. Final Fantasy 7 is mine on the PlayStation 1.
Final Fantasy 7?
Okay. Yes.
I would more expect that from you. Interestingly, my answer is Gran Turismo 1.
Oh, okay.
I like the first Gran Turismo.
You know what? I've got a tie now that I think about it. Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1 is my jam, dude.
And then what? At the same time of PlayStation 1, you'd have the Nintendo 64, right?
Yes. Well, so N64 came out a little bit after. There's Sega Saturn, but I never owned a Saturn, so I'm not familiar.
So, and I don't think either one of us owned a Jaguar, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, I never had a Jaguar.
I knew one person that had a Jaguar, and I actually played Doom on that Jaguar.
Okay, that's really the way to play it.
Yes.
Yeah, Doom on the Jag was the way to play it on a console.
But anyway, so Nintendo 64, since that was the thing that kind of sprung this conversation, what's your go-to on that?
I have two. I would say Ocarina of Time, the Zelda Ocarina of Time. Conker's Bad Fur Day, though, is my other jam on that one. Conker is amazing, still to this day.
If you're going to do two, I'm going to do two.
Yes.
And that means it's going to be Podracer, and it's going to be Rogue Squadron.
Ooh, yeah, Rogue Squadron is really
good. Although Shadow of the Empire is pretty close in there. That Nintendo 64 had the best Star Wars games. It really, really did.
Yeah, there were a ton. And when they translated to GameCube as well, GameCube had some badass stuff. Rogue Squadron 2, I remember when that first came out, I was blown out of my mind how cinematic that was. Rogue Squadron 2 is the shit.
Yeah, I still play that game when I get the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome as hell. So that brings us to GameCube. What would be your GameCube go-to game?
Mario Sunshine is dope.
Okay. Mine is actually Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's actually a really good Lord of the Rings game, and it's a fighting game, skills-based type thing. Very much a precursor to what you'll see in the Shadows of Mordor and Shadows of War. Very dumbed-down version of it, but still kind of a precursor to it.
Yeah.
And more of a linear storyline instead of the open playground sandbox kind of deal. But still, fun game. PlayStation 2.
I'm farting around on PlayStation 2 right now. I just busted it back open. And I would probably say, oh my goodness. Metal Gear Solid 2 is so good on PS2. I mean, it translated to other systems too, so you had like Xbox and that kind of stuff too. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're skipping over the Dreamcast, which
I'll go back to that one.
Okay.
I'll get back to that one.
Okay. But for PS2, I would probably say Metal Gear Solid 2 was one of my absolute favorites.
Okay. For me, it would be, going with my Star Wars theme, the original Star Wars Battlefronts.
Nice.
The first one that came out for PS2. Great game.
Yeah.
So, since you mentioned, I forgot Dreamcast. Let's go with Dreamcast. What do you got?
I loved the hell out of Dreamcast, and I played game after game after game on it. The ideal version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 came out on the Dreamcast, and even though the controller sucked, I actually loved the game itself, and I think they eventually had, I always wanted to get it, but it never came out. Oh, okay. Dreamcast was great. Tony Hawk 2 was fantastic. The controller was really weird, but they had other controllers that played a lot more smoothly that were modeled after some copies of PlayStation 2 controllers, so I used those ones, and they were fantastic. But my thing about Dreamcast was, if you've ever heard of there was an emulator called Bleem that came out, and I think I've told you about this before. But
you were mentioning the Dreamcast just so you could go on this rant.
Not necessarily, no, because there's a couple of things about this. But Bleem had releases for PlayStation games where they played PlayStation games in a better version than what the PlayStation 2 could even put out. You know, increased res and HD type stuff.
The Dreamcast was amazing in what the system capabilities had.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the licensing for the games to be able to do anything with it. But that system was one of the first ones that could easily hook up to the internet and work through the internet.
Oh, dude, I mean, there was so much. Dude, so Phantasy Star Online was one of the best online RPGs ever, and they still have an active community on the original hardware. It's insane. You can still hook up your Dreamcast via Ethernet if you know what to do, and you can get an Ethernet adapter, hook it up to your current internet, and find a server to play Phantasy Star Online on, and get everything that you would have wanted if it was an official release. And they discontinued those servers like 10 years ago. It's crazy. But
it's amazing.
Yeah, but when it so the Bleem games are basically emulated upgrades. You have to have the original games, so they're not copies, but they're just like a converter disc that allows you to pop in a PlayStation game, and they did it for three games. They did it for Tekken 3, Gran Turismo 2, and Metal Gear Solid. And that's why I saved Tekken 3, because I play my version of Tekken 3 on the Dreamcast, because it's that much higher grade looking. Like, that's the ideal version of Tekken 3.
We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do that at some point, because out of all the Tekken games, Tekken 3 is my favorite.
Dude, Tekken 3 is killer. I'm going to have to introduce you to the original Tekken Tag Tournament on PS2, by the way. Same physics engine. All of the characters from all of the previous Tekken games are in it.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's so sick.
Anyway, point being, that Tekken 3 is your Dreamcast choice then?
I would consider Tekken 3 to be my Dreamcast choice. Okay. Interim-wise, this is tough. This is tough. You're asking a guy who plays games. Personally, I would say the original Soul Calibur would be mine.
Okay, so Soul Calibur. I can agree with that to an extent, except mine is not Soul Calibur.
Oh, what is it?
Crazy Taxi.
Oh, dude, Crazy Taxi. Okay. They've done re-releases on Crazy Taxi, and they omitted the Offspring soundtrack, and it just does not feel the same.
The only problem is now when I drive and I'm listening to music in the car, and my Offspring Greatest Hits comes up, I have trouble in the car. I start to go too fast and get really close to other cars and try to cut them off because I'll get more money. So it's really difficult. You know,
completely understandable.
The second I hear that,
yep.
I got to drive fast now. for Dreamcast Crazy Taxi, I played hours and hours and hours of that. I loved it so much. And I've tried it on every other system that it's been available on, and it's not as good. Dreamcast version was better than any of them.
Dreamcast was the way to go. There was a second one that came out on the Dreamcast as well, and this is one of my favorite tricks with the Dreamcast. So the thing about the Dreamcast is they wrote this glitch. They put this glitch into their systems alone because they knew it wasn't going to last long. And so near the end of the Dreamcast cycle, they were able to, I think it was near the end or it was near the very beginning. Either in the end they removed it, or at the very beginning they inserted it after like the very first run. So the Dreamcast is capable of reading what is called an MIL-CD. That's how the Bleem emulators work. Well, people were able to take the games and start copying them and putting them up so you could get your hands on games that never came out in the States. You literally would just go online, download the ISO file, and burn it to a regular CD and pop it in the Dreamcast and go factory. No modding, which was like a big deal in the 32-bit systems with the CDs. Have to like open the system up and throw a chip in there and solder it on. And if you fucked it up, then you blew your system. Like, there was no way to mess them up. And so I never went into modding because it was so dangerous. I didn't want to, like, because Nobody could own like multiple PlayStations in like like 1998. Like, there's nobody. So
no.
If you got these kits, like, you better have a damn solid soldering hand if you wanted to do anything, like, you know, play your own backups or whatever. Backups, really. Let's consider exactly what these are. Let's be honest. But that was the only way that I could get my hands on. That was the only way that I could get my hands on the second Shenmue game, which was a huge title when it first came out. This third one just died. Like, after all the crowdfunding and everything, the third one apparently on the PS4 was very, very lackluster and very disappointing. But the first and the second games on the Dreamcast, the first one, I legit have my bought legit copy. I've kept it this entire time. Even when I've sold my Dreamcast and bought a new one at like flea markets and shit, I still had that copy of the original Shenmue. But the copy of Shenmue 2 that I had that I could always only get my hands on was one that I had to copy because it never came out in the States.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Shenmue is that like super boring game where you drive a forklift, isn't it?
There is a portion where you drive a forklift. Yes. That one is like crazy, crazy. There's so much going on to it. So it is a role-playing game that takes place in the mid 80s in Japan. And the game, you end up having to get a job to earn money. But what you do is you're taking down a Chinese cartel that is tied in with the Yakuza in Japan in your tiny little, like, fishing town in Japan.
We'll have to go over that one.
It's pretty podcast. Rich in the storyline because it takes place in, like, 1986, and everything is, like, time period-based, and it's one of the first games to include accurate weather and time-based things that were to happen in certain, like, based upon the clock on your Dreamcast and based upon the day. It's one of the most innovative games to ever come out, but the second game is just as innovative as the first. There's so much to it, but there was no way to play it in the States because it never came out until the Xbox. And that was that sequel finally showed up on the Xbox, and that's when I bought a copy of it legit.
Okay.
And it was great.
Makes sense.
But yeah, like that was... Dude, people went crazy with that kind of the ability to copy, you know, make your own backup copies, save your discs and all that kind of stuff. That's what a lot of people are into as well.
Basically, people that are gamers, if you don't have a Dreamcast already, go get one.
Moving on,
since you mentioned it, Xbox. Xbox would be the next, the original Xbox. That would be the next kind of system to
pick your game from. The original, the gigantic, you could kill somebody with system. It's so stupid heavy. Yeah, that was the least space and weight economic system of its time. It's so mechanically flawed. It's not even funny.
So what was your game on that one?
Okay, so I didn't own an Xbox for an extremely long period of time, and it was only recently that I got one. I don't really have... Like, because I was, feel free to light me on fire for it, but I've never been a first-person shooter fan, and I've never bought a copy of Halo, and I've never been into Halo, personally, myself.
Oh, hey, no, I mean, if you're not into first-person shooter games, each to their own when it comes to gaming. I mean, there are people that only want to play... things like the Harvest Moon type games where it's the farm simulating stuff and those type of things. There are people that only really play RPG games. There are people that only really play racing games, Madden games, or football in general games. All different types of gamers exist. And so if you're not into first-person shooters, you're not into first-person shooters. I believe you're saying that because you know my obvious pick for my favorite Xbox game, and that would be the original Halo.
Of course, and completely understandable as it is. I even own a copy of Halo still right now. I've never played it, but I do own a copy, and I've never gotten into their games, though.
If you ever feel like doing multiplayer and getting the crap shot out of you a whole bunch of times, I'll be more than glad to oblige you.
Great.
If you ever want to play the game for the story and you want to do co-op and run through the game on a co-op play, just so that you can actually get the story of Halo and understand that the story is actually the best part of it. It's a really, really deep story wrapped up in a first-person shooter game. I'll be more than glad to do the co-op with you and that keep you great. Alive.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, because that's pretty much what you're going to have to do the entire time while I'm playing.
You'll get actually it's the first Halo is actually one of the easiest first person shooters that I've ever dealt with, because the fact that you're dealing with a character that has a shield, so you can actually take a couple of good shots before you are running the risk of dying. It's not like your Call of Duty games where like you get shot twice and you're dead because they're trying to be realistic about it, which is right. Great for the realism of it. You are a super soldier that has been trained since you were like 5 years old, and you are wearing a suit that is based on alien technology. You have an AI that is connected into your suit.
Oh, that's cool.
And the suit has a shield around it. You can even get over shields at certain points in time that only last, they only last for a short period of time, but they can make it so that you can absorb more hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get shot a bunch of times before you're actually in the risk of dying. So it gives a level of ability to run into a firefight and not have to worry about one shot kills. You know what I mean?
Well, that sounds great.
It's actually helpful. But let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's finish out the gaming system things real quick so that we can take our break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll talk about the thing that I was originally leading up to. So if we're at Xbox, we'll move on to PlayStation, 3 at this point, right?
I think it'd be PS3. Yeah. Now, I have never owned a PS3.
And here's the funny thing. I own two PS3s.
Nice.
But there is not a single game on the PS3 that has stood out enough for me.
Right.
That has been my go-to PS3 game. It just,
right.
There's games that you can get for it, but there's never been anything that stood out enough that like, this is what I turned the PS3 on for.
Right, right. Now, I have an Xbox 360 and I've had one for quite some time. I've got two of them actually.
Yeah.
One of them I bought because the disc drive, huh? You have three of them?
I have three. I have two that, let me guess, your disk drive won't pop out anymore.
Yeah.
That is actually a common problem with most of the models of the Xbox 360.
Right.
There's really no way to fix it. I have two that have disk drives that don't pop out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my super cool, totally awesome R2-D2 Xbox 360.
Nice.
That still works like magic and beeps and makes all kinds of R2 noises, which is amazing. It's one of my favorite things that I own, period. And it works fantastically.
Hell yeah.
So when you used your Xbox 360, was there a game that stood out as your Xbox 360 game?
Well, I have a small number of, man, what is my main standout Xbox 360? The 360 would be all about the Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
Street Fighter 4 was dope, and I got the upgrade that made it ultra, and it's so fun.
For me, it would be Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, really?
I got that game, and I got that game at the same time as I got Destiny, because Destiny is by Bungie, same big people who did Halo. So I thought Destiny would be awesome, but 90% of the game is online playing with other people, and I don't like to play that way because I'm not that type of gamer. So when I got Shadows of Mordor, it was like, this is the perfect game for me. And
nice.
I love the game totally. We did skip the Wii.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Oh, man.
Which the only Wii game that I really like and still play, and I play all the time on the Wii, would have to be the Wii Sports, the original Wii Sports game. I still love that game. As those cheesy are, and simple yeah, as it is,
those are hella
I love
fun.
That game.
Those are hella fun. Man, original Wii for me. I would probably have to say, boy, you know, it's funny because I spent so much of my time on the Wii playing the retro stuff. That's when they all got like, that's when Nintendo started selling their games on their freaking, on their
network,
Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the network. So I'm downloading like NES and SNES games and Game Boy Advance.
And also, the beauty of the Wii is the Wii would play GameCube games that had the ports for the GameCube controllers.
So yeah, I would turn around and be like, "Hey, I could play, you know, freaking, I could play freaking Wind Waker now and all that."
No standout, no standout Wii game for you then.
Not that I could think of in the immediate, like that I'm just like all about, like, because there were some that were good, but I just didn't really fully get into them. Like, probably the one that I played the most often was like Mario Galaxy, I think. But every other game I played were like GameCube games.
Okay. Wii U. This is a question just for you because I don't have one and I never have.
All right.
I don't think I will.
Wii U has a ton. Wii U is where things got really interesting. And the reason why I skipped other games was because of the Wii U. And I'll give you two of them. The first one is the original Super Mario Maker. That one is, have you checked that out?
I've seen it. And again, the thing is, I like some Mario games, but if I'm going to sit down and play Mario games, the most likely Mario game for me to play is going to be Mario Kart. Any version of Mario Kart.
Oh, totally understandable. Mario, gosh, man, Mario Kart's amazing. Over the multitude of franchises that over the different systems they put them on, there isn't a bad Mario Kart game. Mario Kart 8 is so good on either system.
It's I think Mario Kart Double Dash, that one I didn't like.
Oh, was that the Game Boy Advance one? Or was that a GameCube one?
That's a GameCube. I think it's a GameCube one. I wasn't a fan of that one specifically.
Okay.
But
The I would say Mario Maker, which is basically what it is it's the original NES and Mario World games as a physics engine where users create their own levels and throw them up on the internet for other people to download and play.
Yeah, and I've seen all the stuff for it. I've just never done it.
The catch of it is that you have to be able to beat the level on your own before you can put it up on the internet, which is super cool. But my favorite version of, and I'm just going to do this for this, there was a game that came out. Well, I would say probably the HD remakes of some of the GameCube games. One of my favorite Zelda games overall is Twilight Princess, and it came out on the GameCube and it came out on the Wii. And the GameCube version is the one that everybody tends to default to because the Wii started like introducing motion controls and made things kind of a little convoluted. Another thing they did was they completely flipped the map backwards on the Wii version to make it a quote-unquote different game. And it just was like a bad mechanic. But
I mean, that is historically accurate with Zelda games.
Well, the reason why they flipped it was because Link has been a lefty his entire time, and the Wiimote is right-handed.
They had to make him a righty, yeah.
So instead of making Link himself right-handed only and having the same game, they flipped the entire map so that the game was a completely different experience. It was backwards. But it's like trying to play Super Mario where the way to progress is to run left. It really freaking messes with you.
back with the Nintendo 64 Episode 1 Pod Racer.
Mm-hmm.
There's many, many codes that you can enter. Like again, using the two analog sticks to be able to drive with.
Oh yeah.
From two different controllers. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the codes that you can enter will actually reverse all the tracks.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so for racing, that makes sense. And in theory,
No. I played that game religiously for like 6 months, like 5 or 6 hours a day, to the point where I was able to, beat everything. There were some tracks on there that I wouldn't even need to necessarily watch myself racing the track.
Right.
I knew the turns of the track so well that I was on autopilot. You throw the reverse on that thing. Oh dear God. it so messes with your head because everything just looks completely and utterly wrong.
It's so
reversing a whole map. Yeah. That'll mess with you bad.
Yep. No, absolutely. But with the Twilight Princess HD version, they took the original GameCube version, which is what the original design of the game is, and they upgraded it to HD visuals. But they added a lot of other cool little bonus pieces. But it's original game style, so you're not Wiimoting anything. You're the whole game experience is kind of like ideally what you like what you like to see. It's like watching old movies on an old tube television from back in the day. Like, there's a sense of realism that you experienced as a child that if you watch those same things now on your old television, it just doesn't seem the same, especially if you throw it on like an HD screen. It just doesn't look the same. But
yeah,
if you don't pick up a Blu-ray of the same movie and then watch it on your television, it's that experience starts to come back, right? It's just the idea of the upgrading of the medium itself.
It's like hooking up a VCR and watching a VHS tape of Star Wars,
right?
Into you know your 65-inch TV screen,
right?
And looking at how awful it looks, and then putting in the. Taking and streaming it off of Disney Plus,
right?
And yeah, you have to deal with all of the added footage that you don't want to have added in, like Greedo shooting at all. But it looks so much crisper, so much cleaner, so much more like what you remember it to be.
Yeah,
and
totally.
The VHS version just looks like absolute garbage on that giant screen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. So you'd say Twilight Princess maybe as your Wii U game?
Yeah, I would say Twilight Princess is my okay. Wii U game.
Okay, and now into the final systems, the current systems.
Yes.
You got a PS4 pick?
I do not have a PS4 pick. Do you?
It's not the new Final Fantasy?
I have not. I don't have a PS4. So I haven't played it. I would love to play the new Final Fantasy, the 7 remake on PS4.
Guess what? I don't have a PS4 either, so we're in the same boat.
Okay.
especially because the PS5, as much as it looks like
a Wi-Fi router.
Yeah, a Wi-Fi router, the Tower of Orthanc. I mean, whatever the frick that thing looks like. The biggest selling feature for me to actually want to buy it is the fact that it's supposed to be backwards compatible all the way to PS1. And if that's the case, I don't need a damn PS4. I'll just get the PS5 and be able to play all the PlayStation games I ever want to play.
Yeah.
That was the theorized thing that it was supposed to have. I don't know if it still has it. They've always played with the concept of that,
man. I've never freaking heard a full solid, like, even the PS4 had issues.
Here's my thing. If it's going to be backwards compatible for all discs, all the way back, even to PS2,
mm-hmm.
that almost makes it worth the $600 they're asking for it.
Yeah. I will give you that 100%. If it's even compatible all the way back to PS2, like, it's worth every freaking dime.
Yeah.
I did see this meme where somebody put up a picture of a PS. They called it the PS5. They put the PS5 logo on it, and they just stuck a PS2 that was sticking vertical, and then put a white binder on the outside of it.
Yeah, it's about right. It's about what it looks like. Okay, then for Xbox One.
Okay, I own an Xbox One, and the game that I've been playing like mad right now is Injustice 2. It's so good.
Yeah, I have to get that one.
It's so good. The first Injustice, dude, you can borrow it from me if you have a 360. I have a 360.
I have the first one.
It's so good.
I played the first one.
The story of the second one is just as good as the first. Everything about it is fantastic.
It's one of the games that I just recently got the Xbox One, but it's one of the games that's on my list of games that I want to have for the Xbox One, and I wanted to have when I got the Xbox One, specifically because it is just the first Injustice was so amazing, and then the additional characters that you get in the second one, that you get to use and work through. I want me some Gorilla Grodd. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Gorilla Grodd is amazing. He's a bitch to fight too.
He's a bitch to fight.
But my favorite, I got the ultimate. Like, if you get it, just get the ultimate top dog, whatever the hell edition. It's probably like $50 now.
Oh yeah.
But get it.
Oh yeah.
Like, dude, the extra characters are so sick. I'm playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are in Injustice 2, and I'm talking 1991 movie film version of TMNT.
Oh, so you're just loving it.
Oh, it's fantastic. There are so many extra characters, dude. Manta is in it. Just so much. Mr. Freeze is a replacement skin for Captain Cold.
Nice.
Yeah, Flash and Reverse Flash are in
just
there.
To have Captain Cold in there is freaking awesome, because that's I mean, you're getting into
Red Hood is a bonus character. Nice. Sub-Zero and Raiden are bonus characters. Yeah, so good. Just all of it. All of it's so good.
For me, since I've had it only for a short period of time, I don't have a go-to game on the Xbox One just yet. Just yet. Okay. Still waiting to find one that's kind of my go-to.
Oh, there's so much.
But, and then finally for the Switch.
For the Switch, that would be a given on my end.
Zelda
Breath of the Wild, 100%.
Yeah.
There's actually this compatibility thing with that Twilight Princess on Wii U, which is really cool. So I think I've mentioned these before. They're called Amiibos. And what they are is they're just collectible figures that have a chip in them. And those chips are compatible with certain games. Like, you can get all the Smash Amiibos and they'll give you like extra power-ups or extra, you know, whatever. For the sake of it, they do it for like Smash and Mario Kart and like Splatoon and like all those Switch games. But the cool thing about the collector's edition of Twilight Princess on Wii U is it came with a Wolf Link amiibo. And what you can do with your save file on Twilight Princess is you go through the game, you play it, you get all the power-ups, you get the badassery, you fill up all, you get all your hearts and your stats and you build them up. You can write those stats to the Wolf Link amiibo, and then you can take that Wolf Link amiibo and load it up in Breath of the Wild. And in Breath of the Wild, Wolf Link is a companion for you that helps you fight. The amount of power that Wolf Link has and health and strength is based on how good your save file is on the Wii U. So
you could have a super buffed up companion helping kick ass for you.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And it's so fun.
I've played with similar type games. The Skylanders games and the Disney Infinity games are big in this household, especially the Skylander games. I think that my wife and my oldest son have somewhere in the category of 400 Skylanders.
Oh, wow.
We've been lucky enough to find them people yard sailing or selling them online where they're selling, 100 at a time for like,
oh yeah,
$30 because their kids aren't playing them anymore, and they're already like super leveled up. So you just have these. We have triples and quadruples of various ones that we can just switch between. I mean, my son has a tote full of Skylanders,
bro,
and we have all the different Skylander games. And actually, just recently, I got him a Lego Dimensions game with a bunch of things for that. So we have another one of those universes to break into. But anyway,
side note before we're headed.
Our really long break.
Right.
Yeah.
Side note before that, did you know that Skylanders were actually pitched to Nintendo as an exclusive property and as an exclusive property mechanic for Nintendo games, and Nintendo refused them initially?
I didn't know that. I know that I kind of liked the Spyro games, but my wife was a huge fan of the Spyro games, and they came out on the original PlayStation. In fact, we have the original PlayStation version of all the Spyro games, which led into the Skylanders. I know that you can play the Skylanders games on the 3DS, and they have a portal to be able to hook up the Skylanders to it, but I didn't know that it was something offered as an exclusive to Nintendo.
Yep,
Nintendo kind of missed the boat on that one.
They refused it, and then eventually what happened was you had Skylanders, and then you had Disney Infinity, and then what ended up happening was the... my favorite one now is the Lego Dimensions stuff is so sick.
Which, yeah, then that, like I said, that's the recent one that I got for the kids to be able to... The kid and the wife, I got the Lego Dimensions as their new game to be able to play. But anyway, we're finally going to take a break, even though we've basically done an entire podcast worth of discussion. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about, for a very short amount of time, the institution that is now shutting down that was part of our childhood, and I have some interesting childhood memories from that institution.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in just a minute to talk about it, since that was the original topic of conversation, was things that are changing in our strange times and the businesses that we're
we
losing.
We went way off kilter.
Hey, it happens, man. All right. People got at least a little insight for us. If they ever want to play video games with us, they know what to offer to play.
Yeah,
so we'll
right.
be back in just a minute. All right.
All right.
Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xeniel Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezenielchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back. That was an interesting first two-thirds, three-quarters of a podcast.
We just kept going, man.
I have learned my lesson, which is to be very careful getting into conversations with Mike about video games. It's the same thing I caution people when people try to get into conversations with me about historic wars, Star Wars, just civil wars.
War in
Marvel
general?
Civil War. Basically war in general, yeah. But also books. It's good to know that if you're going to have conversations with me about certain things, to set aside a decent amount of time. It's funny, on our break, I went out and got myself something to drink, and my wife was like, "Oh, you guys done?" I'm like, "No, we just got through the first part of it." She kind of gave me a quizzical look. I'm like, "I started a conversation about video games, and well, somebody was talking a little bit too much." And her response was, "Well, yeah, you have a tendency to do that." I'm like, "No, it wasn't me this time." And she was like, "Oh, okay."
That's
like,
funny.
Thanks. I mean, you're
That's
right.
Great.
You're right. It is usually me, but. But anyway, the thing I was really bringing up to talk about tonight, like I said before the break, was this institution that is now closing its doors and going to be disappearing. I know that you personally had posted a few things on Facebook about this.
Oh yeah,
and about what is going to happen maybe in the aftermath of this.
I hope so. Come on, man.
This is kind of like so many things, like losing our Blockbuster and. Losing even Hollywood Video to some extent, although I'd never be caught dead in a Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But the thing we're losing, the thing that's in the news now that are closing its doors and not necessarily going to reopen, and makes sense in this time period because trying to make sure everything in this place is clean was always a difficulty, but even more so now, making sure it's sanitary properly for all the demands for virus safety and prevention. Is that birthday party staple with crappy food, Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I almost want to pour one out for Chuck E. Cheese, but not really. But for our generation, this was kind of the elite place for parties to be had. If somebody was having a party there, if you were invited to one of those parties, that was your friend whose family was a little bit more well off than possibly yours.
Oh.
Because... the money that had to be put down for each of the kids to get like $10 to $20 in tokens, plus all of the pizza and whatnot for all the kids to eat.
Oh yeah,
and the space at those giant tables in front of the shrieking animatronic rats, and other assorted sewer Denzians. I mean, it was a lot of damn money to be able to put out. This was one of those things that. Was an extravagance for the kids' birthday parties. You know what I mean? It wasn't your backyard parents order pizza in or barbecue some food, decorate the kitchen up, homemade the cake kind of thing.
Right.
You didn't have no homemade cake at this thing. This was a full-on store-bought cake.
Yep.
And, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah.
And then the crappy arcade games and dirty ball pit and the one I remember going to had this like little space ride where it was literally just like a silly little rocket thing that you sat in and it twirled around a pole up and then twirled back down around the freaking pole.
Oh God. I never wanted to take a look at that. No. Your memory of Chuck E. Cheese is quite different from mine.
I just got started, sir.
Oh.
Let's hear yours. Let's hear yours first to see if it's more buoyant and wonderful, and then I can depress everybody with mine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first off, the ball pit always smelled like piss. And then the...
and however, cheese, for some reason. Piss and cheese. Yeah!
Dude, I hated the pizza because it reminded me of the ball pit. It was
and
gross.
It was awful pizza.
Oh, yeah, the pizza was terrible. And
dude, frozen pizza from
Mind
the
Mind you, apparently I'm supposed
better.
To be the one that's brightening this shit up. Okay, so the my least favorite part was... My least favorite part was the animatronic animals.
Oh, God, they were horrific.
The purple monster, the purple monster scared the shit out of me.
You're just sitting there trying to eat your damn pizza, and then, like, there's some kind of cue that the performance is going to happen.
Yeah.
And this whole freaking wall of animatronic things, not even good animatronics. This is not Disney-level animatronics.
Oh, no.
Because, like, my favorite ride at Disneyland, even to this day, it's been a long time since I've been there, but the second I go back, the first ride I want to go on, and I want to go on it first thing in the morning so that there's not a line, and maybe I can get to go through it twice in a row without ever having to get up, because it's my favorite ride. I got to do that the last time I was there, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I love the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and the animatronics there are freaking amazing. So good. The Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. Okay, for anybody that's seen the animated Goofy movie, have you seen Goofy movie?
Yes.
The animated one?
Yes. They're straight up like,
When you see the Lester's Possum Park is freaking Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It is a hillbilly-themed Chuck E. Cheese.
It's
perfect.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Absolutely perfect in its execution. That's one of the best parts about that movie. It's equal parts creepy and goofy and just off-putting time.
I have to pick one little bone with you on that. That entire movie is cinematic gold, and it's one of my favorite movies. So, like, everything of that movie is the best part of that movie.
I remember seeing memes about the Powerline reunion tour that was supposed to be happening, like, a few years ago, but... Like it never
happened. Dude, I would totally go see Powerline in concert. and I would do the perfect cast on stage with him if he would let me. Thank you very much.
Of course.
I love that movie. With a giant passion, I love that movie. Don't even get me started. I'll start singing all the songs, bro. Love that movie. But anyway. That wall of animatronics would just light up and start singing. And, like, I don't even remember the songs. They weren't even catchy enough to remember.
I remember most of them were covers, like, you know, One Eyed, One Horn, Flying Purple People Eater and shit. But the dog. Okay.
It was just.
There was a side stage. Did your Chuck E. Cheese that you went to have, like, a little side stage area where it was, like, a close up, like, small club scene type deal? That, you know, a couple of other pizza tables and stuff in a side room. And the only one that would play shows would be the dog in the cowboy costume?
I don't recall well enough.
Okay. So my sister didn't give a damn when she was. So my stepsister and I are the same age. And the animatronics freaked me the hell out. But she was just like, whatever. So there's kids that are up at the front railing trying to touch the dog while he's playing guitar. And I'm like, get the hell away from that thing. I think it'd fucking eat you. I just remembered, like, not ever wanting to get near it. And he's sitting there playing some dumbass song. I have no idea. I don't even care what the song is. I just know that one of his eyes is half shut and won't work right. And every once in a while, the table I'm sitting at, this motherfucker turns his head around and is staring straight at me while I'm trying to eat. And I am not okay with any of it. And then on top of that, my sister's trying to drag me away from the table, be like, run up, touch it. I'm like, stay the hell away from me. I'm going to go, like, play the Ninja Turtle arcade and stay the hell out of this room. I just remember, that's one of the worst memories I ever had of that place. It's so vivid, too.
They were so terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that got me, now here's my question. Was this your birthday, one of your family members' birthdays, or a friend's birthday?
Okay, so I don't quite remember, but I do remember that my stepsister and I have birthdays that are very close to each other. We're like 5 weeks apart. So at one point, it was like a shared birthday thing where we'd have a little thing for me because my birthday came first, and we'd have a little birthday thing for her because her birthday came after. But the larger celebration would be co-birthdays at the same time. And that's why, you know, we would go. And sometimes I'm sure that there, I don't know. I'm assuming there was like cost split between some families because there were some other kids that were, having that at certain points in time from what I remember. But, yeah, you're right. Like if you know what to do with a Chuck E. Cheese booking as you know, expensive as they are, you make that a group effort. You know what I mean? Like that, well, I can understand that on a parent level.
No, there's some parents who might make it a group effort, and then there's a different set of parents. I'll get into those in a minute.
Oh, okay. I love this. I love where this is going. But yeah. So the I think we did a Chuck E. Cheese thing for me and my sister at one point. I'm sure there was, but I was so young at the same time that like I just remember a lot of things freaking me out, and I spent time the hell away from the performance room. I just never liked the performance room. There was a big one with all the animals, and then there was a little one, the side stage one, and the little one was even scarier. But
I get you.
Dude, like, I stayed the hell away from that, and I stayed in the arcade. I was sitting there, like, you know, making tickets and that kind of stuff. I was trying to, you know.
And now we'll say, one of the fun things of childhood was going to somewhere that had an arcade. Putting money into the arcade things, getting a bunch of tickets, and then using those tickets to get a piece of crap little thing that you got to take home with you.
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
You never get enough tickets to get the things that you actually wanted to get.
Oh, and they had that shit on the top shelf things. That always tempted you. You always wanted to be like, oh, yeah. I want to get like 3,500 tickets so I can get the video game at the top shelf.
And you end up with like 250 tickets by the time you're done.
Oh, that's if you're good at it. You'll never get it in one visit. And what sucks is, did they cycle the tickets at any point? I don't remember. I just don't remember ever coming out often enough to do it. Because that would take all of the money and all of the time in order to make the amount of tickets that you were... Like, it's a child casino.
It's so much easier just to go and buy the damn thing in the store.
Right.
But I mean, even as an adult, I've had fun in Scandia. The little putt-putt course, and then it's got a video game arcade attached to it. I'll go and put $20 down on coins for video games and go play video games for a while, get a bunch of tickets, go change the tickets in for useless little crap, and it's fun because you get to play video games for a little while with your friends, and then afterwards you go play some putt-putt, especially fun when you're slightly inebriated. And you end up hitting the wrong person's ball all the time. That's hilarious, but you know that can still be fun.
Yeah,
you can still have fun playing those things.
Oh yeah.
But see, the thing with Chuck E. Cheese, and the whole thing was predicated around Chuck E. Cheese. This is a place that was specifically designed for the purpose of bringing your kids to have pizza and then go get lost in the BS of the arcade. So you didn't really have to be a parent. Moreover, this is a thing. This was designed for the parents to do these birthday party flexes. And what I mean by that is, this is to me, even back then, I remember being 8, 9, 10 and being there for not my birthday party, because my parents never had the money to be able to afford something like that. And I'm glad that they didn't, because I would have been mad at them if they did. I would have been furious with them if they did. And here's why. Even back then, I would have been mad with them for doing a birthday party like that. I never wanted one. I never asked for one.
Okay.
And here's the reason why. The ones I went to were for my cousins. They had all this money spent on the party. I distinctly remember the adults drinking pitchers of beer, which always struck me as a problematic thing. I never liked the idea of adults at a kid's birthday party drinking alcohol. Now, I am a firm believer that adults should have the opportunity and right to drink alcohol, but not at a kid's birthday party. To me, that just seems like the inappropriate time. It should be about the kids, not about the adults. But I believe Chuck E. Cheese was one of those places that helped the adults get away with this. They could sit and eat pizza and drink because their kids are off running around playing video games and watching the animatronic rat sing. So they don't need to worry about it, right? It gives them that thing of it. But it also is this giant flex for the parents of, I have enough money to be able to give my kids these things. Look at us. Look at how well we're doing. We can pay for this lavish party for the kids, truck in all these presents, and all their friends can be there. it's not for the kids as much as it's for the adults to show off to the other adults how much better parents they are. And it's not that they're better parents. It's just they have parents that have their parents that have more money to spend.
Right.
And
right,
that
right.
is supposed to show, look at this wonderful thing I've done for my kid. That makes me a better parent. No, it doesn't. It just makes you a parent with money. Now, here's where the other side of it is from how I would have been as a kid and how I would have thought of it. If my parents spent that much money on my birthday party, they should have taken whatever it cost, the couple hundred dollars that it costs or more, even up to $1,000 maybe that it costs for the damn party. Because I went to, with my child, I went to a birthday party for some kids that was at an Incredible John's Pizza, which is kind of an upgraded, almost adulty version of kind of Chuck E. Cheese, but like 1,000 times better. Because it has a huge arcade room. It has a little kind of faux bowling alley thing. It's got a setup with bumper cars, which is always nice.
Yeah.
It's actually got a couple of small amusement park style, not amusement park, but more like fair style rides inside the building, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really nice about it is the way that the food is set up. It's actually set up for, there's the room that's kind of the party room, but then there's a couple of rooms for adult dining, where they actually do serve more adult fare. So you don't have to go there with your kids for a party. You can go to one of the adult dining rooms and you can actually get in those rooms alcohol.
Oh,
they're
whoa.
Kept in those specific areas. So it's a place that, like, if you and your wife wanted to go there to eat dinner one night, you could go there and eat dinner and go to one of the adult dining rooms where it's not in the kid area where the kids do all the playing and running around.
Right.
It's a completely separate, huge dining room area that has access to, now here's the kicker, okay? This is a buffet-style place.
Yes.
So it's got a salad bar, right?
Yeah.
And then it's got a baked potato bar. And then it's got a pizza bar where they serve all these different flavors of pizza that are flipping amazing. Their macaroni and cheese pizza is fantastic.
This is straight up marketed to the former Chuck E. Cheese child crowd as adults.
Yes, to a great extent.
This is fantastic. And
then it's got a dessert bar where it has an automated powdered donut maker that you can watch it make these powdered donuts. It makes
That's
the donuts
thing?
And sends them under a thing to get powdered sugar on.
That's amazing.
They're actually more like funnel cake in donut form. You have no idea how beautiful and amazing they are.
That's amazing.
But just think about it, a salad bar, a potato bar, a pizza bar, and a dessert bar that makes the donuts in front of you.
Okay, that's way too damn good.
It's a beautiful place. But the money that the family spent on this party, they spent a good grand to be able to pay for everything for this party. And all I could think of as a kid when I went to these Chuck E. Cheese parties for my cousins.
Yeah.
All I could think of even as an adult as I'm taking my kid to this party is, if I'm the kid, why do I want this money spent on my party?
Buy me a Nintendo, shit. Damn it. Yeah, exactly.
Buy me more shit. Because I want to spend the money on me. I don't care about these other people. I don't need to have some big party to celebrate my birthday. Buy the shit for me. We can have a party at home with a homemade cake that costs you $5. And you can make Papa Murphy's pizza. We are not endorsed by Papa Murphy, but their pizza isn't bad. You can do any of that stuff. I don't need all of the big hullabaloo about a party. If you want to spend $500 on a party for me, spend $50 on a party for me and give me the $450 for me to do what I want with it.
Yeah, dude, like now that I'm thinking about that, like if you're spending that amount of money on your kid's party, you could buy him a Huffy at that point. Like
you could buy him a video.
We're going to that era, right? Like, cuz Huffy was like the big guy.
Yeah, you can buy him a Nintendo. You can buy him a Sega.
Yeah.
You can buy him the SNES. And you can buy him the game system and like 3 or 4 games to go with it.
Dude, for the price
and an extra controller.
Is that how much like Chuck E. Cheese bookings go for? Are they that high?
They're a couple hundred dollars at the very minimum.
Shut up, no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen birthday current parties. Times right now, just to let you know, like, there's a Chuck E. Cheese in the same parking lot of of the retail establishment where I am currently not working, but was working last year. Let's just say, but dude, like that blows my mind because they have banners on their building right now with their phone numbers saying that they do takeout food. Who the fuck would buy a Chuck E. Cheese pizza for takeout? I want to know.
I don't know.
Who are those
their
people?
Their food was awful.
It's god awful.
But no, I just in the last like couple of years, I've been to birthday parties at places where the cost just to host the birthday party there and have food for everybody there and everybody to get like the tickets to do the event. It's one of those places that has like, again, has bumper cars. It has laser tag. It's got like a climbing thing for kids.
Right.
And a big inflatable thing for kids.
Yeah, for
sure.
And
they do a private party room where they give you the cake and the food and that kind of stuff. That was like $300-$400 just for something like that.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. And that's the thing is, man, if you're going to spend $300-$400 on a kid's birthday, buy the kid the stuff. Screw the damn party.
Yeah, at that point, just rock it in the backyard and just like, you know.
Now, I mean, admittedly, there are some kids who want all the hoopla. I personally think that you raise the kids to be that way, and that's a whole different set of circumstances.
Yeah,
I think you're making them want to focus on the wrong things. Personally, some people would say I'm wrong because I'm making the kids want to be more selfish about things. But like, it's selfish to have all those people have to show up and bring you gifts and be at your party and do all that. I mean. Again, it's
well,
different.
That's pretty much
it's
what
different
it is,
versions
what it
of
is,
things.
Huh?
But to me, having those big parties, and even as a kid, even as a 7, 8, 9 year old, I'm watching all of this, and all I can think is, being at these things, wow, my aunt and uncle really want to flex how good of parents they are. They want to try to show everybody, look at how good off we are. Look at how good of parents we are. We get to throw these big parties for our kids, and it was more about them showing off than it was about them actually really caring about their kids and doing the right things for their kids. And that's how I always felt about it. That's the lasting memory. So to me, Chuck E. Cheese has always been that kind of, my kids have never been in a Chuck E. Cheese. One, because only one of them actually eats pizza. Weird. I know, but
wow,
it happens. But the simple fact is it's been one of those places that I've wanted to kind of avoid, because to me, again, that was always the thought frame, was this is enabling these parents to show off to other parents and to other family and to other people. And it doesn't, I don't really think it gives the kids what they really want.
Yeah.
The kids may want to have the kids even may want to do it because of the flex for the kids. My parents can take me to Chuck E. Cheese and have a big party at Chuck E. Cheese, because kids want to show off a little bit and try to act like they're better than their friends. It's the status symbol stuff. And that's how I feel Chuck E. Cheese has always been, is it's one of those things to, admittedly, a little bit of a bougie status thing, but still a status thing. You know what I mean?
Right, for
like,
sure.
It's you know, poor and lower middle class status type thing.
Right.
You know, the poor kids couldn't get it, but the lower middle class kids could get it, and they could show off to the poor kids. Again, just like you know, one person's able to get the Huffy or the BMX, the other kid gets the Hiffy. You know what I mean? Or they get the hand-me-down bike from their parents. That's maybe the parents try to give it a paint job or something.
Right.
But they're not getting the big one, you know. Or one kid shows up at school with the Converse, the other kid's got to show up with the PF Flyers. Same type of shoe.
Yeah.
But who knows what a PF Flyer is in comparison to a Converse?
Right.
I'll tell you what it is. PF Flyers are $10. Converse back in the day, even back in the day, were like $50.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're still that.
And that's a big difference.
They're still like 60, you know? $70.
Well, they're more now. But or like the difference of wearing like Husky brand jeans as opposed to wearing Levi's.
Oh, you know, yeah. What I mean?
And this is, it's part of that flexing thing. But to me, some of that, Levi's are still a good quality pair of jeans, for instance. Converse are still a good quality pair of shoes. So you are paying for some quality in those things. But to me, Chuck E. Cheese is not, it's not good quality pizza. It's not, you know, it doesn't even have really good quality games. You can find any of the games that they had there at any other arcade.
Yeah, exactly.
That you could possibly find. That wouldn't cost you anything more than just the price of the tokens or coins to put into the arcade machines. It was, to me, purposely in existence to give parents and even kids that flex of, oh, look, we can afford this. It really didn't serve any other purpose than that to me. And that's why
I will tell you, the ads for it, though, if you remember back in the day, if there is anything that Chuck E. Cheese did that was good, like because their pizza is horrible. The environment is chaotic.
They advertised the shit
their
out of
their advertisements place, yeah. were gold. There was like, I hated going to Chuck E. Cheese as a child. I still watched the ads and wanted to go, but I hated I went. Because it was a whole different experience than what the ads gave you. And I knew that when I was like 7.
Yeah, it was definitely a letdown in comparison to what you thought it was. Also, really dark. But
Chuck E. Cheese's were really dark, always. I think they did that to hide like everything that was going on.
All the stains that they never cleaned.
Oh, yeah, the stains they never cleaned up from the floor. And like, oh, yeah. And, dude, weird colored lights at any opportunity that they could have.
Yeah. And so while there are some people who will have the nostalgia issue of it going, I say good riddance. Get the hell out of here. We're done with you.
It's, you know, man, when you've got a place like, when you have a place like John's Incredible, that really kind of showed you the right way to do it.
And the food, I will say this much, man. You know me when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be brutal and I'm gonna be honest when it comes to food. I ain't ever gonna say something's good when it's not. The food at John's Incredible Pizza is amazing.
Oh, for sure.
So much variety, so many different things that you can get, and it's simplistic, but it's amazing in its simplicity. And pizza is one of those things. You know, I've often heard them say that pizza's good even if it's bad. That is not true. That is not true. I'm of the firm belief that something that can be as good as pizza can be at its height, when it's at its lowest point, it makes it even worse because you know how good it can be.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there are pizza places that I just refuse to eat at. Like, normally I'm pretty open about hamburgers, for instance. Hamburgers are one of my favorite things. There's only one hamburger place that I flat out refuse to eat at, and even then I don't completely refuse. I just ain't going to pay for it. If you buy it for me, I will probably still eat it. I'll bitch about it the entire time, but I'll still eat it.
Okay, I can understand that.
That would be In-N-Out Burger, in case anybody didn't know. If you don't know,
we have all of our podcasts available on our YouTube page.
We do, and you can go back and look at it. We still have the hamburger episode to do.
Oh, yes.
After all this time.
Oh, yeah. But, man.
But there are certain pizza places that I just won't eat at, period. There's one that's named after a game that you play with tiles that have little dots on them. I won't eat that pizza at all, period. I hate that pizza completely and utterly.
What the hell are you talking about? I'm trying to put it together.
It's a game that you play with little tiles, and the tiles have dots on them that represent numbers.
Oh, wait. Did you say a pizza joint or a burger joint?
Pizza joint.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that part, and I was like looking for...
Not a problem.
What burger did that
now
place serve? They didn't.
Now we're clear?
Yes, we are absolutely clear.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you're right. That's very lackluster.
That place is awful. There are other pizza places that I will specifically drive to go to. There's one that's located maybe a half a mile from your house that's amazing. It's a little mom and pop pizza place, and the pizza there is so flipping good.
Oh, yeah. I am very glad to have really, introduced really you. Yeah.
There was the pizza place that was kind of sort of a little bit near your old house, the one that was across the street from the bar.
Yeah.
I'll name that one since you're nowhere near that place anymore.
Yeah,
it was called Steve's Pizza. That pizza was amazingly good.
Steve's was good.
That Such was good dude, pizza.
That one was like that was one of the ones that nobody knew was really really good.
Oh yeah,
There's a place that's not far from. There was an apartment that my wife and I lived at, some time ago. I don't think you ever went to. Did you ever go to a place called Mark and Monica's Pizza off Manzanita Avenue?
No.
Okay. Go. They even okay. Those guys. I'm gonna tell you how good they are. They survived a fire. Their building was burnt down, and they were able to survive enough to rebuild it and keep making pizza. And they're still there, and they're still operating in the middle of all of the economic destruction that is happening from this current environment. They're still making pizza, and it's amazing pizza.
The better recommendation is you like Steve's Pizza, because you and I have both ate at Steve's Pizza together multiple times.
Yes.
And then you like the pizza place that's near your current house.
Yes.
So if you like those two and you're recommending me this pizza place, I'm going to take that recommendation.
Definitely worth it, yeah.
Interestingly, there's a place in Yuba City that is not even a pizza place, but they do serve pizza. Mm-hmm. They serve personal pizzas. That's actually been one of the best pizzas I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, really?
It was just a little 8-inch personal pizza, but dear God, it was amazing. So,
really?
I mean, pizza is one of those things that can be a transcendent food. But when you mess it up, I'm sorry, it's not still good. It makes it even worse because it could be so much.
True.
And that's the thing is, Chuck E. Cheese, garbage pizza. So, but anyway, Chuck E. Cheese.
There has to be a medal that needs to be awarded to somebody who's so consistently bad at what they freaking sell, at what they make. Like what they're known for, technically speaking, on a food level. If you're that bad and you still keep making money, like there's got to be an award for that.
If there ever is, Starbucks needs to be the first person awarded that or first company awarded that for their god-awful coffee. But anyway, point being, Chuck E. Cheese will be gone, and I, for one, couldn't be happier. I'm glad we're finally getting rid of that mar on the skyline.
I will say on my last, as far as my last commentary on this, I have to give credit to a game franchise. I know we were talking about games a lot just not long ago, but I'm going to make this brief. I got to give credit to a game franchise because part of what they did, like what you were talking about with the Disney thing, with Goofy Movie, which is again, one of the best ways of telling how very awkward and just overall bad that series or that entire chain of restaurants really is at doing their job. There is a game series called the Five Nights at Freddy's series. I'll be brief. You play a security guard in a kid's restaurant that has animatronic animals that are possessed, and they try to catch you. Like, they try to catch you. So you have to guard yourself from the animatronic animals that run around at night after the store is closed. And it's a great premise, and I'm not going to get into it. There's a bunch of lore, but the amount of furor that helped the entire YouTube gaming community. And so there was such a huge fan base that came around the series. And I think it really fed because it was kind of geared towards kids, but not. So a lot of prominent YouTubers, this game series is partially responsible for the downfall of Chuck E. Cheese. I will give them credit for that.
And it's also it also may be connected to it can be marketed to the people who spent their childhood at these birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, 100%.
And were terrified of these things.
I can't stand sitting through these games. Yeah, I to this day can't really stand sitting through these games because they trigger this thing in my brain where it's just like, like all of the things that you think would have happened to you as a child with these giant monstrous animals that are fucking 6 feet tall. Like these things could eat you and they might and you don't know. And here they are singing songs for you in cowboy costumes and bullshit. Just this hits all of those things, but then it takes it a step further and makes you experience the what if as a child in your adult years. It's horribly weird. However, I will say this. Haunted houses in general have gotten better and better as they've moved along. I've even participated in one or two of these, like, you know, haunted house mazes that are converted from like old, you know, areas that absolutely fantastic. I think it's a great concept in general. I really do.
With this.
But I will tell you this. The graveyard of animatronics that's going to end up happening after all of these places are shut down is going to make for the best fucking haunted houses after all of this bullshit is over. Like, that's where I'm going to want to go. That's what I'm going to want to see. I'm going to want to see that kind of stuff because the super hyper expensive animatronics that are available at every Halloween store. Oh, dude, just for the capability.
Are you sure that you're going to be able to endure that?
I probably won't, but just I have to get out of my own brain in order to experience it.
I got to see you locked in the room with the with the dog cowboy thing. I got to see you locked in the room with that.
Dude,
I just want to see the meltdown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I will be in the fetal position on the floor, and when I get brought out, when I get brought out on the stretcher in a straitjacket, the first thing I'm going to say is how awesomely, terribly terrifying that it was. Because I will appreciate that.
Just as long as you're cool with me standing in there laughing at you the entire time.
I will appreciate how good and how bad it is at the same time. It's going to be traumatizingly wonderful.
I will also hook you up with my therapist afterwards.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I think that'll get us done for the day.
Yeah.
You got some video game knowledge, and you've heard about our mutual dislike, and in my case, absolute hatred of the soon-to-be-defunct Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh,
good
man.
Good riddance yet again. Mike, where can people listen to all these wonderful tales?
Well, if you guys aren't listening to us on our website, which is thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, you can find us on Spotify and Google and TuneIn and Apple and all of these other awesome places. Speaking of Zenchron, please go ahead and follow us on our social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We're working on getting that Instagram launched so that we can do stuff like that because we would love to, you know, share memes and stuff. That would be great, I think.
He's not being entirely truthful about the Instagram thing. He keeps saying we're working on it. I am not working on it. I'm just going to be honest with you right now.
Well, I mean,
at some point I will work on it. But
if I've got to shove you off that cliff, then I will, sir. But yeah, we'll keep it going. Speaking of every other podcast that we've got, you may be able to catch all of the podcasts, but we've been doing this for a long time, and there's some gold way back in the older episodes as well, and you can catch all of those episodes on our YouTube page. Just search the Zennial Chronicles on YouTube, and you will find us there.
Yes, please subscribe. Click the bell icon so that you can get notified whenever we have any new content come out. And please, please feel free to comment or ask any questions about any of our episodes. We will respond if you are not a bot. If you are a bot, we don't want to talk to you.
I search for those bots, by the way. I make sure those bots are bots. And we will remove trespassing upon our comments feed.
Yes. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we will be back again next week.
You all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.